This is Digital Story Podcast number 514, January 12th, 2016. Today's theme is Bring Your Camera and Let's Go. I'm Derek Story. Now that the holidays are behind us, it's time to start thinking about the adventures that lie ahead. This is the part that I like. It's so exciting. I mean, you know, doing the adventures is fabulous, but thinking about the adventures is almost just as good. I know we have this saying in our house, which is, we just want to get it on the books. Let's just get it on the books. Because once you have your adventure on the books, then it's halfway real. I mean, you know that no matter what happens between now and when you get on that plane or get in that car or ride that train, whatever you're doing, whatever happens between now and then, you can survive it because you've got this thing waiting for you. You've got this adventure waiting for you. You've got this vacation out there. And it's real because it's on the calendar and you have the date set and all that good stuff. And that's what I'm talking about today. Figuring out what are you going to do in 2016 that gets you excited. Now, I'm going to talk about three, and the three that I'm going to talk about today are connected to me. Okay, that's the stuff that I know. And I highly recommend all three things that I'm going to talk about. But I'm not limiting this idea, this concept, to just these three things. I'm going to give you three things that are examples that I think are really good. You pick anything you want. It makes no difference. As long as it gets you going, that's what counts. So pack your camera and let's go. Three photo adventures. So having just returned from Las Vegas, and I had a great time, I have to tell you. It was a little bit of everything, but the part that made it a really great time was, once again, I was a man with his camera. it's sort of like what I was talking about in the opening monologue. You know, part of it was getting ready to go. Part of it was, you know, how can I pack my kit to be as nimble as possible? Part of it was actually taking the pictures and finding the stories. And, you know, that all the excitement that comes with that discovery and recording it and everything. And then getting back to the hotel room at night and looking at the pictures, even though I was so dog tired from walking 6, 7, 8 miles a day. I'm not exaggerating. I have my little pedometer, health meter thing going. Walking those many miles a day, I was so tired, but yet I had to see those pictures. I had to see those images. And it was just fun, and it's a great way to start out the new year. So I was thinking, okay, I'm back from this trip. I'm all excited about a trip that I have coming up later this month in Austin. And I figured this is a great time for me to talk about what are you going to do in 2016? What is going to be your photo adventure? What's going to get you all excited where you can't wait to get back to the room or to the tent or to the lodge and look at those pictures that you took that day? All right. So I got three suggestions for you. As I mentioned before, they all have to do with me. I think they're great examples. And whether you're interested in these or something else, you know, grab the essence of the concept. Okay, here we go. The first one. Well, I'll tell you all three first. The first one's going to be San Francisco. Second one is going to be Chicago. And the third one is going to be Point Reyes National Seashore. All right. Start out in San Francisco. This is in April, April 15th to 17th. This is a digital story workshop. We're already close to full, but we still have two seats open. So if you're listening to this and you go, that sounds great, we still got two seats open. So this event has it all, I tell you. And I think that this year's street shooting workshop is going to be the pinnacle of you know, what we're doing in San Francisco, because we've had two cracks at it. I learned a lot each time, and I think this time we have a super magic formula. So we have street photography, of course. We have nighttime shooting. We have urban exploration. We're going to have some surprises. I can't tell you too much, but I can tell you that there might be a camera out about that time that you might get to see that is probably one of the best cameras I've ever seen for street photography. I'll just stop right there. That's all I can. I probably said too much there, but that's all I can say for now. We're gonna have that going on. I'm gonna add film photography to this workshop because I think street photography and working with film is a good combination, and film cameras are easy to get your hands on. And there's a lot you can do with film right now. I've got a really nice workflow put together for film photography. Let's do it. Let's do it at this workshop. Let's do it in San Francisco. Let's talk about film. So we're going to have that in there. We have an Olympus Trailblazer, Mike Boeing. He's going to be joining the faculty for this event. His specialty is the nighttime photography. He's good at everything. He's a fantastic shooter. He's good at everything, but his specialty is nighttime photography, and he's going to be leading those sessions. He's going to be helping us on the photo walks, and I think he might be able to round up some goodies too. So anyway, 3 days in San Francisco. The itinerary is online. I have a link to it in the show notes. You can see everything that's going to go on. I cannot wait for this workshop. April 15th to 17th. So that's a street scene type workshop. Next one, out of Chicago, June 24th through 26th. This just came together. We had been talking about it since August of last year. And finally, all the details have come together, and I'm super excited about it. So Out of Chicago is a photography conference. I think it's one of the up-and-coming photography conferences in the United States. It has a groundswell that is unbelievable, and all you have to do is go over to the Out of Chicago page, look at the faculty, and you'll see what I mean. It's really exciting. Just fantastic photographers up and down the slate. Great program. It's a mix of conference sessions, photo walks, panel discussions, and workshops in Chicago. And you can just imagine the kind of shots you're going to get there. So I'm going out to Chicago. I'm going to debut my Nimble Photographer Workshop at Out of Chicago. This will be the first time I've done it. We have it already listed on the Out of Chicago page that just went up. I mean, I haven't even had a chance to talk about it on the podcast yet. I mean, it literally just went up. And I'm limiting that workshop to 10 participants. So we already have 8 signups. And I haven't even started promoting it yet. So what we're going to do is that if you go over there and you get turned away, if it fills up before you get there, let me know. Because if I get enough folks letting me know, we're going to add on another day. We'll add on another workshop. And all you got to do is send me an email, derek@thedigitalstory.com. Say, I tried to sign up for the Friday workshop. It was full. Are you going to do another? That's all you need to say. If I get 5 or 6 of those, we'll add on another workshop. We'll add it on a Thursday event too. Anyway, so this is going to be fun. Rick Salmon's going to be there. The guys from Improved Photography are going to be there. Frederick Van Johnson's going to be there. It just goes on and on. It's just a really cool list. So that's happening in June. And you can just go to the Out of Chicago conference page. I have a link to it in the show notes. And this is an interesting event because what it is really, it's a conference that has workshops and classes as part of it. So it's a little different twist than what's happening in San Francisco, which is a straight 3-day workshop. This has a little bit more variety. It has sponsors. The training might not be quite as intense. It's not as hands-on as what happens in San Francisco, but the breadth of it is really interesting. So I like both. I like both types of events. I'm excited about both of them. That's June. Okay, next. Now, I just figured out the dates for this. The Point Reyes National Seashore Workshop, August 19 through 21, Point Reyes, Northern California. This is a magical place. You know, it's thunderous ocean breakers crashing against the rocky headlands, expansive beaches, great wilderness trails, tule elk, all sorts of flora and fauna, both. A lot of different looks. You know what I mean? I mean, there's backwoods, there's seashore, there's craggy cliffs. We're going to go to the Point Reyes Lighthouse, which is just such a cool place. It's just such an outrageously cool place. There is just so much stuff to do. We have a great conference center that's on Tomales Bay, which is another fantastic place very close by. Oh, boy. And the idea of this workshop is nature. This is a nature workshop. This is outdoors, breathing fresh air, seeing, you know, the wonders of nature, and then learning how to capture it in your lens, how to really come away with impressive nature photographs, not the vacation stuff that, you know, the pattern that we fall into sometimes. You're not going to be traveling with your family on this. You're going to be at a workshop with a bunch of other photographers. You're going to have the time you need to do the kind of work you want to do at this workshop in a fantastic location. This neck of the woods is special. And I really can't believe that I've waited this long to do a workshop there. Maybe it was just the right time. I don't know. So that is coming up on August 19th through 21. If you're on the reserve list, registration forms will go out this week. So look for them. They're going to show up this week. It'll have the itinerary. It'll have all the details you need. And you'll be able to sign up right there and reserve your spot. Again, limited signups here. We're going to keep it to 8. If you're not on the reserve list and you want to get the registration form this week when the others go out, go over to thedigitalstory.com/workshops or just click on the workshops link at the top and use the send me info form to request info for this workshop. That puts you on the reserve list. This one has a big reserve list, so if you want to go, I would get on the reserve list so at least you have first crack, because they don't send out registration forms to other folks until after everyone on the reserve list has had a chance to make a decision. So those are three different types of event: a straight focus street photography workshop, a larger conference in a metropolitan area workshop with lots of instructors and lots of different things going on, and then at Point Reyes, which is landscape and nature and wildlife, and just a small group, fresh air, and just leave the world behind workshop. That's what we're going to do, just leave the world behind. So anyway, those are my ideas. I hope that today I've got you thinking about what you're going to do this year. And I hope, regardless if you do it with me or someone else, that you do something along these lines. I promise you, you will not regret it. It is so invigorating and so exciting. And you just go, now I know why I love photography so much. All right. In the news, Apple patent describes dual camera design. And this was covered by DP Connect. Looking at the new Apple patent that has recently surfaced, it appears that we might see a dual camera setup in future iPhone generations. The design uses two camera modules, one with a wide-angle lens and the other with a longer focal length. Throw some Apple software wizardry into the mix and you get yourself a smartphone zoom lens that should get close to quality to a fully optical zoom and much better than existing digital zooms. However, improved zoom may only be one of the several applications of this design. The dual camera could also be used to create 3D images or increase image quality in wide-angle images by adding additional detail that is captured with the longer lens. So this is pretty interesting stuff. I like the idea. It reminds me of what's going on with my LED lights right now, with the bicolor LED lights, where you have basically two bulbs, a very warm bulb and a cool bulb. And it's not just that you can have warm or cool, but then you can have a mix of the two of them that allows you to have any number of combinations. And I think that's what we're looking at here optically with this concept that Apple, seems to have patented. So who knows, next generation, generation after that, whatever. But I like the direction of this because it sounds like it's going to be optically strong. Plus, you know, the great software that they write under the hood. This could really make iPhones go just to a whole nother level. How to pick a frame and a mat for your print. So this week's image framer tip, and I hope you've gone over and taken a look at what they're doing over at Image Framer. They're a sponsor of the show, and I just really like working with them, and I love their software. And the angle I want to talk about this week on how to use their software is, have you ever had a print and you knew where you wanted to put it? You wanted to put it over the couch, over your desk, in the kitchen, that kind of thing. And then you're trying to visualize what's the best frame and mat with that print in that area there. And it's hard. And if you pony up the money first and you don't like it, then that's an expensive investment that you might not use, not to mention the time that you spent, you know, worrying about how it's going to look. So Image Framer can make all of that easier. You just take a digital version of your print, which you probably have already because you probably captured it digitally to begin with, put it in Image Framer, play with the custom mats, play with the custom frames, work with all the combinations. You can even put it on a background that's the same color as the wall that you're thinking of hanging it on, and get it just the way that you want, something that looks really good. You can show it to other people, you can get other opinions. And then when you're happy with it, digitally, hasn't cost you a thing yet other than purchasing the software, then what you can do is take that to the mat shop, take that to the supply store, get the supplies, and then when you finish the job and you put it on the wall, you know how it's going to look. It's going to look good. And believe me, this saves so much time and so much worry and practically guarantees great results. So Jacob over at Image Framer, he's put together a landing page for us, specifically for TDS listeners, has great discounts on the three different versions of the app. I have a link to it in the show notes. Image Framer, this is really versatile software. We've talked about digital uses of it, but now how about planning out analog applications such as matting and framing your prints? Products we love. Lumic Cube LED light. This was a Kickstarter program that I backed and took about, almost a year, I think, for it to come to fruition. It is one that changed a lot. Boy, when you look at the original concepts of this LED light and then you compare it to what we received, they did a lot of refining during the project itself. So I received my cube the other day. I've had basically a week now to test it. And I want to talk about it because it's really interesting. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's cool. First of all, the design itself, I love. I just love holding this thing. It's a cube that fits easily in the palm of your hand. It's not too big. It's not too small. One of those kind of things. And it's designed with this beautiful aluminum. It's weather sealed to the point that it can go down 100 feet underwater and it still will operate. So I guess it's waterproof. In addition to be weather sealing, it's kind of selling it short, isn't it? It's waterproof if you go down 100 feet. It has a very strong LED light array inside, up to 1500 lumens. I mean, it is bright. It is so bright that they have to put a card in the box that tells you not to look at the light, not look directly at the light when it's up high. That's how bright it is. And they're right. Don't use it for shining on other places. Now, fortunately, you don't have to have it at 1500 lumens all the time because it has an app that goes with it. Actually, it has two apps that go with it. There's the free app, and then there's a pro version for $2.99, both for iOS and Android. And with this app, the smartphone, in my case the iPhone, talks to the cube via Bluetooth, and you can control the brightness. You can auto sync it with the camera app that's built into it. You can set the duration. You can set strobe. It has a slave sensor on the front of it so that you can set it up as a slave for when you use a regular flash. It just has all sorts of really nice controls that you can use it with. And for me, in all honesty, the app was one of the joys of this LED light. I have a couple portable LED lights I've talked about before, and this one I think is my favorite now. I mean, I still have only had it a week, but so far I think it's going to be my favorite, in large part because I love having the controls of the iOS app. I can put the LED light up on some place, and then I don't have to run back and forth to adjust it all the time. Just use the phone that's in my pocket, and then I can adjust the brightness. I can turn it on and off. I can use it for a video light. I can use it for photography. I can use it for whatever I want. It's $79.99 at Amazon and B&H. Right now, I have a link to B&H, I think, in the story that I wrote about it. It comes with a USB cable to charge the battery that's built into it, and the battery has really good life. It'll go for, I think, at full brightness, which is just killer, I think it goes for 2 hours. And at 50% brightness, much longer, much, much longer. Other goodies, it has a tripod socket in the bottom. Now, on the downside, there's two things. A lot of backers have been unhappy that they're charging for the pro version of the app, which is $2.99. I think a lot of people felt like, hey, I backed the project, I should get the pro app too. And, you know, I think there's some legitimacy to that, because after using both apps, the free one and the pro one just blows away the free app, I think. It's so much better. It has more controls. You can also control up to 5 cubes at once. And it's just really nice. So, okay, so there's that. In my book, you probably want to add $2.99 onto your budget and just get the pro app. I wouldn't even mess with the other one. And then the other thing is the slave sensor. I'm really disappointed with it because they put the slave sensor on the front where the light is, which would be okay if it was sensitive enough to pick up a flash from angles. But it seems like the flash has to shine directly at it for it to work. And, you know, what good is that? I mean, unless you're going to take a picture of the cube firing, then that's not very good, because most of the time when we use a supplemental light, we want it off on an angle, use our flash from the front, have the flash trigger the slave, and then have the slave supplement the light. And that sensor just doesn't seem to work very well. I think they need to have either like a little dome on top, or at least put sensor on both sides, something like that, and make it more sensitive. So they need to work on that. So even though it does have a slave sensor, I've been disappointed with it. So my bottom line on this, though, is it's still my favorite LED light because it's so bright. The battery is very good. It's easy to put in all sorts of different spots. You can use it for both photography and video. And controlling it with your smart device just really makes things a lot easier. So I'm giving it a thumbs up at $79.99. I think it's pretty cool. Take a look at the, if you need something like this, take a look at the product page, see what you think. I wish they would fix that darn sensor though. Maybe I should say products we like, fix the sensor, and then it'll be products we love. There we go. All right. I think I got it now. Member Quotes of the Week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. So, in my Friday post about Out of Chicago and the Nimble Photographer workshop debuting there, we had a nice little flurry of comments about it. And Ron got it started. And then we had a good little conversation. I'm just going to read you the conversation. So Ron started out by saying, "I'm glad that you are doing this, but why is it so hard to get people like you to do seminars in the South? Places like Orlando, Atlanta, Charleston, Jacksonville, Tampa. This is part of the country that is seriously ignored by almost the whole photo community except the birders." William answered, "Well, maybe Chris Smith will organize an Out of Charleston conference, Ron." And Chris Smith is the organizer of Out of Chicago. "Well," then Chris Smith chimed in, "or maybe Ron will." And he added a smile to that. Well, Ron said, "Heck, no one would come take advice from me about anything photographic but how to buy stuff." So then Aaron chimed in, "Imaging USA, one of the two biggest photography conferences in the country, is happening over the next few days in Atlanta." So it was this weekend, and I think it's actually ending today, the day that I'm recording this, or maybe it just ended. And it happens every year, Imaging USA. And then Aaron added, "Also, I know Rick Salmon does a workshop or two in Miami every year." And there's a few other folks that do workshops in Miami, too. I think Brian Smith does. There's some good workshops going on there. Well, then Ron came back with, "We could call it Doing in the Charleston, but that name's already taken." And then he adds, "Yes, I talked to Salmon. I don't want to have to sell a kidney to take one of his courses." Then at that point, I jumped in. I didn't want this thing to go south on us. Didn't want it to go like the Golden Globes did last night. Boy, did you watch that? That was a drunk fest, wasn't it? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so then I jumped in and I said, "It's all about organization. Chris has created a platform for us to use so we're able to fit it into our schedules without having to figure out every detail. Workshops are a lot of work. These types of gatherings are attractive to speakers." And that's really the thing. I would love to do workshops in Charleston, for example, in places like that. The problem is the logistics of a workshop, especially putting together logistics in an area that you don't have access to. You know, San Francisco, I can drive to San Francisco or Point Reyes. I can't drive to Charleston to check on, you know, the facility to make sure everything is the way that I want it. I find out when I get there and I have to book it in advance to do so. So the logistics are the problem. You know, with Out of Chicago, Chris has done a bang up job of just putting everything together and then including building the website. And then basically we work out what we're going to talk about and we go from there. And, I tell you, if there was an Out of Charleston or Out of Miami kind of setup, I would probably go. Seriously, I would probably go. The hard part is getting these darn things set up and making sure they run smoothly. I have an expectation of the experience that I want anyone that attends one of my events. And I need to ensure that those expectations are met, regardless if I'm in Northern California or if I'm in Chicago. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if, you know, we get more guys like Chris Smith coming along to put these things together so we can have more of these gatherings in different parts of the country. Post your thoughts on our Facebook page. Believe me, I read them. I do. I have a note here from Ink Dot. I talked about them about a month ago, and they're a new sponsor of the Digital Story. And you may recall I talked about the wood prints thing, and I'm going to talk about it again today. They do this thing where they print your image on Baltic birch. It's about 5/8 inches thick. It's archival quality. It's moisture and UV resistant, and it looks neat. I did a print of a mom and child zebra on one of these Baltic birch surfaces, and I put it up in the studio. You know what happens? People want to hold it. I mean, it catches their attention, first of all. I mean, Leah, when she came to work the first day after I put it up, I wasn't there. She came into work to do some stuff while I think I was on the road, actually. And she sent me a text, and she goes, "What is this wonderful thing that you just put up?" And I told her it's a wood print. And she was wondering if I did it or if I had it done or anything. And she was really excited about it. And it's that kind of thing. It really does get you going. And the part that I think is neat is that if you really think about your subject, and then you think about the surface that goes on, and you come up with something. Like, you know, I wouldn't put a steel and glass skyscraper on one of these. That just doesn't feel right. To me, using the wood prints is an opportunity to have it be an extension of what you're trying to do with the image. And, I mean, I really like the zebra image. There's a lot of landscape work I think would look nice on there. I think there's a lot of portraits that would look really good on there. So it's that kind of thing. It's an opportunity to add really a dimension to your work that is hard to do otherwise. And then on top of it, what happens is people absolutely want to touch it. They want to, you know, and it's beveled on the back. It's got a hole drilled in it in the back. They give you this really cool screw. So, I mean, basically you put the screw in and you hang it up and you're done. And it's hung in a way where people can take it off the wall, hold it, pass it around, and then put it back on the wall. You know, it's like one of those things. So it actually becomes like interactive art. And, you know, because it is on this chunk of beautiful wood, why not? Let people touch it. Let people interact with it. It's archival. They're not going to hurt it. And it really adds, like I said, another dimension. So anyway, what they've done for us, this hadn't come about before, but we've been talking. And they came up with a promo code for us, STORY, STORY. Just do it in uppercase, STORY. And if you do that, you can get 25% off any of these wood prints. So for example, an 8x8 is normally priced at $32. With the promo code STORY, you can get one for $24. Try it. Really, just check it out. It is, first of all, it can be a killer gift. But second of all, I think it just gives you an opportunity, again, to extend your art from just a visual thing to something that also has touch to it. It's over at inkdot.com. The promo code is STORY. I got a link directly to the wood prints in the show notes, but you could go to inkdot.com and see for yourself. Found treasure. So, the next edition of the Nimbelocity Report comes out this Wednesday. Yeah. There'll be goodies in there. There'll be good. I'm really having fun with this newsletter. So, if you're signed up for the newsletter, make sure you check. It comes in for me under the promotions tab in my Gmail. So check there if you're a Gmail user. And it's going to be a terrific newsletter, and I hope you enjoy it. If you haven't signed up for it yet, you can sign up for it at the Nimble Photographer under the contact section, or Digital Story under member info. And finally, I want to give a shout out to our friends over at Red River Paper. I was thinking about them while I was at CES and looking at some of the printing stuff and going, ooh, how would Arctic Polar Luster look coming out of that? Anyway, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. They have a rocking Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper, and they can take care of all of your inkjet supply needs, including some of the best paper in the business. All right, that's going to do it for this week. I'm already getting excited about my next trip. I hope you get something on the books. You can be excited too, and then we'll all be excited together. We can do all the planning, figure out how we're going to pack our bags. Which kid? camera are we going to take? Which lenses? I mean, this can go on forever. All righty. Until next week, I've got some terrific stories in the brew for you next week. Come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.